It's time for the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Compos, your home for fun in the great outdoors. And now your host, Craig Compo.
Hey, welcome Fairbanks to the Compo Outdoor Show. It's the middle of June. It's beautiful out. We don't have any forest fires yet, so knock on wood. And you want to be careful out there over the weekend. Make sure you're not that guy or gal that let a fire get away and ruins everybody's summer. It happens, and it shouldn't. So be careful there. Got a little housekeeping, and we got a special guest today. So I want to talk about one program that we've got going on over at Compos right now. We're playing Can-Am Poker. And so that's something we did a few years ago. It was really popular. Our whole idea is to get butts on seats. We want people to try out the new stuff. We just got the new 5 and 700 Can-Ams in, and they are amazing. I've never been on anything ride so nice. Good power. They actually dropped the pricing on them a little bit. It's the 650 Ace motor that they use in both of them and tuned differently. But anyway, it's really neat. So what you do is you come on out. And you get on a Can-Am. We're not forcing you to go take a demo ride, but most people want to. We have a little trail system. You got to wear a helmet. We buy the gas. You got to sign a waiver, all that good stuff. You got to have a driver's license and so forth. But you take a ride on this on the Can-Am, and then when you come back, we have a 52-card deck. You turn the cards over one at a time, and you can win a Can-Am with the right hand, or you can win compo cash or $1,000 cash. Obviously you got to have a pretty good hand to win the big prizes, but it doesn't cost anything and you get to test out the new Can-Am. So take a break at lunch this week. Come on out. We're open 9-6 Monday through Friday, 10-4 on Saturday. And we're going to play a little Can-Am poker. If you feel lucky, do you feel lucky? So anyway, I have a guest, a returning guest that I really like to have on the show. Captain Eric Spitzer with the Alaska State Troopers. Welcome, Eric.
Hey, thanks a lot. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So we were talking off before the show started about just kind of a little bit of your background, and it was really intriguing for me talking about your time at Quantico and how that helped you develop with, kind of how you got here.
Yeah, like a little bit of origin story stuff. Like, who is this guy that's the attachment commander? Like, what's his background? And I didn't grow up here. So a little bit of background. So grew up hunting, fishing, trapping, outdoor stuff. Joined the Marine Corps right out of high school. One of my duty stations in the 10 years I was a Marine was at Quantico, Virginia. And so I was working at the Northeast Regional Correctional Facility in Quantico, and I got talking to the psychologist at that prison there while I was working in the military prison. All right. And then I was transporting prisoners out to Leavenworth, cross-country prisoner transporter and stuff.
Bad guys.
Yeah, super bad. You know, the worst of the worst.
Yep.
Anyway, for like military prisoners. And this psychologist was telling me, he said, hey, you know what the problem is in here? He said, out in society, when you're walking the streets, one in 100 men that you contact on the street is going to be a predator, suffer from antisocial personality disorder.
You're talking about not just a sexual predator, you're talking about somebody that's a potential serial killer.
Killer, serial arsonist, rapist, child abductor.
Super bad guy.
Super felons. And we've seen some of the worst of the worst. So the psychologist tells me, he says, hey, when you're walking the street, one in 100 people in society, of males, are they're a predator like that, okay? They delight in tormenting other people and victimizing people and things like that. So they're out on the street, one in 100. That's what your chances are, okay? So.
And you were telling me that in the prison, it's 3 out of 4?
Yeah, so the psychologist was telling me that, like, while you're behind bars here working, your chances are 3 out of 4, or 75% of the people that you contact in a correctional facility are these psychopaths, basically, just trying to manipulate you and trying to play games. And the way you look at it, if I worked in a military prison for 3 years, think about this. Technically, if 1/3 of my life is spent at work, I was in jail for a year straight. So I served a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was behind bars with these guys in Special Quarters 1, which is like a jail inside of a jail inside of jail. Now, this place doesn't even exist anymore because they got rid of the military prisons. And, like, if you look on Google Earth, it's just like a spot where it used to be next to the Officer Candidate School. But anyway, so I use that as some background. as far as like, you know, people are like, why are you so hypervigilant? Why are you, you know, and I use that as like, if you think like a prisoner, think like, get inside their head, think how they think, and then your job is to protect society from those people, you're much more effective. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So like as a kid growing up trapping, like I'd think like a fox if I'm trying to catch a fox. Or if I'm trying to catch a wolf,
right.
I learn about them. I study them. Like, where do they? How do they breed? What motivates them? What attracts them? What repels them? And that's how I look at law enforcement here in Fairbanks. Is that just like, you know, my kids have got a hen house, and now I like fox. I love those animals. They're cool animals. They're great to watch and stuff like that. But when that fox is starting to get into the hen house, I got to do something about it.
Right, sure.
And I'm going to be proactive about that. I'm not just going to wait until that fox comes around. And that's kind of the way I look at law enforcement in Alaska, is that we've got problems here. We got all kinds of problems. We can talk about drugs. And I think drugs are behind probably 90% of our problems here. But we're proactive about it. We are seeking out the problem. Not waiting until
the
being reactive.
Calls, yeah. Well, and then, so if you spent 3 years working around a lot of bad guys, you must, when you're walking down the street, be able to more identify, maybe not one in 100, but you probably see mannerisms, actions, things that would tell you,
man,
this is probably one of those one in 100.
Craig, I'm telling you, as we're sitting out here in the parking lot before we came in for the show here, there's this gal walking down the street. She's on her cell phone, man. She's just looking at that cell phone and typing away and scrolling this and that. And there are some street folks out here that are like bad actors, man.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, like, you got to pay attention. You got to get your head out of that damn phone.
Yeah.
Pay attention to your surroundings. And that segues into like my little motto. I got it on the back of my business card. If you look at it, it says, if you see something, say something.
Well, and then we're going, so you're talking about cell phone, the most powerful, one of the most powerful tools every citizen, just about every citizen has.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, because people see stuff going on and they don't want to get involved, or they go in the other way, but you know, what if they were the victim, you know? And so talk about what somebody can do safely to help the department, to help the community, to help fight some of this crime with this little thing we call, that we all have in our pocket or car.
So what I stress to people about, what I said earlier about, if you see something, say something. Don't just say something. Don't just call us like several hours later and tell us about something that happened in ancient history. Get your phone out. Make sure you're safe first. I mean, I'm not saying like go up and approach somebody, but like from a safe place, maybe say you're in your car or something like that. Get your phone out. Put it on video. Start recording. Zoom in.
Yeah.
Get a license plate. Get the vehicle. Snap stills. Do video. I don't care. But if you see someone out there and they're like acting suspicious near a mailbox, like they're pulling up to a bunch of mailboxes, and they're going and stopping at each one, and they're not the mailman, that's not good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you guys proved that. You busted those four gals. That was a great story.
Yeah.
But
They had some good warrants for himself, and that was because a concerned citizen called it in a timely fashion, and they kept an eye on them. That citizen actually approached him and said, like, hey, what are you doing in my mailbox?
Yep.
So, like, I'm just saying, like, do what you feel comfortable and safe with.
Yeah.
But we got over there quickly. We got the helicopter up. We got our canine unit out there, and we snatched these two gals up. And one of them had a warrant for, like, $100,000. I think it was in the paper the other day.
Yeah.
Another one had, like, a $10,000 warrant. And and like, I guess my point is that be a good witness.
Yeah.
You know, get that phone out. Get us some videos. You can send that stuff to us. If you see something happening and it's like, this is criminal. Like,
and you can, you have the AK tips.
Oh, man.
Let's talk about that again. I always like to talk about it. It used to have the NITSL. Is that what it called?
NITSL, yeah.
NITSL. And now it's the AK tips. And I go there on a regular basis, and everybody should have that in their phone.
Oh, man.
Just talk briefly about that.
Yeah. So, AK tips. A lot of us remember, you know, historically, the last 10, 20 years had been this Crime Stopper tip line thing. And Crime Stopper tip was cool, whatever. But it was only one way. It was a one-way street. Information only came one way. This AK tips, if you go to your tip, if you go to your app store and you type in AK tips on a smartphone, it'll pop up. And it is it's an app that you can anonymously report crimes in progress. Now, when I say crimes in progress, like if you see someone being beaten to death, or like you're being victimized or something, call 911.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. But let's just say you know that there's a load of drugs coming in to Fairbanks, and like, you know, you don't want to see people being victimized like that. You go into this tip app and you can type it up what it is. You can add photos, videos, whatever you want to, and send it in. And it comes in anonymously. Now, most people say, like, oh, it's not anonymous. The cops are just trying to, like, I really don't want to know who you are. I don't want to know where the tip came from. I really don't care. What I want to know is as much information as I can about the tip that you're giving us.
Okay? Now, and later, like in court, they could probably use that information, but still not have to acknowledge who sent it in.
Because I honestly don't know.
Right.
And here's the beauty of this. I'm talking about one-way street, two-way street. So a one-way street is the Crime Stoppers. Like, the tip comes in, and you get the tip, and you can't do anything else with it. You're just like, what we got is what we got. And it could be a great tip. It could suck. Like, it'd be like, you know, really vague.
Yeah.
But this tip.
Two-way.
Yeah, this AK Tips is cool because it's two-way encrypted. There's no way I can figure out who it is that's on the other end unless they actually volunteer to say, like, hey, here's my phone number. Just call me, and I'll actually cooperate with it and be known. Like, sure. And some people do that.
So that's their option.
That's their option. It's up to them. But, like, truth be told, I don't want to know who they are. I want to be able to make our case based on the tip and our research and doing intel and stuff like that and work a case. Let us do our thing, and then you don't even have to come to court. Anyway, but if you want to be a victim, or you want to be a known victim or a witness or a complainant, that's fine too. But the way this works is it comes, we get the tip, and then we're like, let's say someone has, hey, there's a drug load coming in to Fairbanks on this date. And we're like, okay, can you describe do you know what vehicle they're going to be bringing? Or do you know what time, they coming up the Parks Highway, they come up the Richardson Highway? Like, how are they getting in here? Are they flying it in? What?
Right.
And we can respond back, and then they can respond with an answer to us. I'm like, how do you know this information? I'm like, oh, it was an ex-boyfriend or something like that.
Now, do you have a team that's dedicated to that?
Yeah.
Those types of things. It's not just randomly whoever's on call. It's, you kind of have.
What happens is it comes into a clearinghouse. Our Alaska Criminal Intelligence Center has got like 16 analysts and stuff in Anchorage, and they got people from all over, like FBI is in there, and DEA helps out sometimes, border protection.
Is this depending on the seriousness of the crime, or it's like
It comes into an inbox. It comes into a giant inbox. They get the tips, and then they distribute them throughout the state. So if it's something in Fairbanks that has to do with drugs, we'll send it to the Fairbanks Drug Unit, maybe me and our criminal suppression unit. And that way, it's all about information sharing, you know, so we can work the problem together. It's not like just... So they disseminate it. They, you know, parse it out to who needs to know the information. If there's something about stolen vehicles in Delta Junction, we're going to send it to Delta Junction troopers, and they're going to work on it.
Yeah.
So
I like that. So I think what I've learned over since I met you in the last couple of years about the troopers is it just seems to be, the old mindset is always, don't even call the troopers. Yeah, nothing's going to happen. They're not going to get it done. Something's happening because I've noticed this personally on some stuff that was stolen. I've noticed, I've heard from other friends that are like, wow, yeah, they're actually on it. And when you guys send a chopper in the air when those felons are going through mailboxes, that never happened. I don't know that ever happened before, but that is a big deal because, I mean, that's a federal crime, right?
Yeah.
And some good Samaritan went out and called you. They probably chased him off, and and then all of a sudden you got a chopper in the air. You find these people and nail them. I think that's just a win-win for everybody.
Well, I think it's important that to get on stuff as fast as possible.
Yeah,
and we got to be aggressive about this. When I say aggressive in law enforcement, I'm not talking about violating people's rights or anything like that. Because, like, hey, I'm all about the Constitution. I mean, I served this country and took an oath to uphold this Constitution. But I'll tell you, if somebody's doing dirt and we find out about it, especially if you're hurting kids, if you're bringing dope into this community, and which is like it's just eroding the fabric of our community. Yeah. If you're doing that kind of dirt, like, you are public enemy number one, and there's going to be a target on you. Know that. If you're slinging dope in the streets of Fairbanks, like, you have got a target on you.
Public enemy number one.
You are. And, like,
and that's good because that's what that bleeds down to all the so much
thievery
and the rapes and everything. All right. Well, listen, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to talk with Captain Spitzer after the break a little bit about fun stuff, things he likes to do. I found out he's kind of one of us. And when I say us, River Rat, Quad Nut, and all the people like to get out in the outdoors. So anyway, we'll be back after this break and talk more with Eric Spitzer of the Alaska State Troopers.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compos. Bob Compos Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compos' passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race, and their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. Treat them poorly and they'll tell a few dozen. Compos on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, a look at Alaska's budding new industry, brought to you by Good Titrations, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon. Then it's the Compos Outdoor Show at 12:30. And don't miss Fairbanks Foodies at 5:30, talking everything food and fun in Fairbanks. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, Fairbanks, welcome back to the Compo Outdoor Show. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Trooper Spitzer, Captain Spitzer from the Fairbanks Police Department, who's a regular at our Laundry House Gang. We really appreciate that. It kind of gives us an update every week on what's going on with crime. Good to see you. Earlier this week, we had the... We got three of us out of five in the room got the Amber Alert.
Yeah.
And you were just telling me before the show that was resolved, right? And
yeah, that was awesome.
Citizen had something to do with that.
And that goes into that whole same I'm segueing into that same thing about, like, if you see something, say something. We put the Amber Alert out, and a citizen was over at the College Road Safeway, and they're like, "Hey, that white Ford pickup truck is parked right here in the parking lot," and we're like, "Vroom." Like, yeah. We were on it like a hobo on a ham sandwich, yeah. Man. We got there, like, rickety-tick-quick, helicopter on it. Yeah. And it's stuff like that, like, citizens involved. We can't do this alone.
Yeah.
You know,
the more eyeballs you got, the better.
Yeah, right?
You gotta have eyeballs.
What a great example of the public helping out law enforcement in interest of public safety.
Now, I'm just curious, did the citizen kind of hang around the truck until you guys got there, or did they just say, "Hey, I saw it," and then they took off, or, you know?
Ooh, I think they stayed on the line with dispatch. Good. And then, you know,
And they don't have to be identified, right?
So, no. Yeah. I mean, they could be anonymous. You could be anonymous, yeah. Whatever.
A lot of people are worried about retribution. It's, you know, people finding out who it was and coming after them and tearing up their house or something. But that's what's nice. You can be anonymous. You can be a good citizen. You don't have to be. People use the word snitch all the time. Yeah. I'll take that title. I'll take a snitch title in a minute if I'm stopping a bunch of bad people from doing bad stuff in Fairbanks. I mean, we've talked about this before. We don't want Fairbanks to become Anchorage.
No.
Anchorage is bad. It's really bad. And, you know, there's bad elements here. But, you know, I've always maintained that Fairbanks will never be more than 100,000 people because of the winters. Uh-huh. It's kind of changing. But I think it's always, or at least in my lifetime, is going to stay in that size range. It's not going to explode and go to 200,000 or anything. And so... it's really important that you get as many of those 100,000 people to be on the side of law enforcement.
Yeah.
Use your phones, use your eyeballs, call in tips, pay attention to suspicious stuff. If something doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Right?
Yeah. And, you know, I got to tell you about you talk about Fairbanks here. I've been stationed all over this state in the last 23 years as a cop, as a trooper. And I have never, I don't know if I've ever been in a community that is as friendly to law enforcement as Fairbanks. And I'm not just saying that because I'm here now.
Well, and that, yeah, go ahead.
You see it. Like, you go into Fred Meyer's. And, like, I go into Fred Meyer. And I get the sushi there. You know, I like their sushi. Yeah. I'm a sushi guy. So, like, sometimes I'll go in. I, like, try and go in and out and think to myself, how fast can I get in and out without someone saying – they always say, they're like, hey, I want to thank you for your service and stuff like that. Yeah. And I'm like – well, first of all, I tell them, like, hey, it's an honor to serve you because that's what we are. I mean, yeah. We're public servants. Troopers are public servants. We're here to serve you. And I always tell folks, like, look, if someone says, sit down, I want to, you know, could you sit down and have a cup of coffee with me? Heck yeah, I'll chat you up. But truth be told, most troopers, it's like thanking a dog for chasing a cat. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just something that it drives you. I mean, like, helping people, like, feels good.
Well, that's when you get one of the reasons you get into it. You want to do that.
You know what I mean? Like, you see something wrong, it's like, hey, no, you're not going to victimize that person. You're not going to, you know, run around stealing catalytic converters and, like, you know, sneaking around from shadow to shadow, you know. It's just, you know, it feels good doing good.
Yeah. Well, speaking of feeling good, I wanted to segue that into your free time. What I found kind of interesting is part of the reason you probably wanted to join up the Laundry House Gang is you're an outdoors person.
Oh, man.
A jet boat, four-wheeler, snow machine. Tell me a little bit about what you love to do when you're not busting people.
Okay,
what do you like to do?
I am a little bit of an adrenaline junkie, okay?
We all are, yeah.
I mean, I like to chill out, too, and relax. I mean, I'm not just running around, like, you know, in the red all the time. But, to me, jet boating and navigating, like, exploring new waterways and, like, you know, sliding around a corner, you know, with a
technical water.
Oh, real technical stuff. Like, have you ever been up, like, you know, the Salchi up there? There's, like, spots up there where you're going over logs and stuff like that. You can, like, get up and, like, jump a beaver dam. And
I live it.
Yeah.
I live it. That's what I do.
And that it's that thrill, you know. And then if you can combine that excitement and that fun with, like, you know, engaging in lawful outdoor activities like hunting or fishing or something like that, it even makes it better because you come back with food and, you know, wild game, whatever, or maybe just pictures. But
well, you know what? I don't know about you. You work with the public 24/7 during the day, or at least, you know, all the time you're at work. I do too. And there's something, I think the reason I love my jet boat is I can get away from everybody for a little while. And it's your therapy, right? You need that. Just, there's nothing better than just sitting, you know, 75, 100 miles up the river, sitting around a campfire, listening to the water go by.
Oh, yeah.
No other boats or very few. I mean, it's just, to me, that is so soothing. And I come back to work Monday or whatever day it is, and I'm just reinvigorated.
Right? Oh, yeah. And you can choose your audience, too. Like, you know, you got like-minded folks, you know, friends that like to go up and do that. Same thing with snow machining. Like, going into that whole thing about the adrenaline thing, like, I love... You know, I mean, I know you sell skidoos. I happen to ride skidoos.
You said Arctic Cat, I was going to say, well, this show is over.
I noticed there are a lot of Arctic Cat in Fairbanks. I've never seen so many damn Arctic Cat, and I'm wondering what's going on.
Well, anyway, they're a brand loyal group.
I guess.
We used to sell Arctic Cat. Yeah, they're loyal almost to a fault. No, go ahead.
But no, there is nothing like pulling the trigger on a big mountain sled. 165-inch paddle track, 3-inch paddles on it, turbo, and just like
175 horse,
and like you're just like, you know, you're out there and you're like, you got your arms are pumped so much from, like, you can hardly hold on anymore from a day of riding, and you're just going out into places where people, like, I'll bet you 95% of people in Alaska don't see the places that we see, jet boating and snow machining and four-wheeling and stuff like that. And you're just like, there's some places I've been standing, and I'm like, you know, next to a glacier that's just melting. I'm like, I bet you a human has never stood in this spot where I'm standing.
Well, we were, years ago, a buddy of mine and I were in up on the Canwell Glacier out of by Fielding Lake and Summit area, and it had fresh snow, and we hauled fuel and in a sled. I think we had a 30-gallon polycube, and we parked it up on there, and we just wanted to play. We put 325 miles on in the weekend and never crossed another track except our own.
I know.
And we just did that. I mean, it was like heaven. I mean, it was so nice. And, you know, the scenery, and it's just beautiful.
Yep.
So you jet boat, you snow machine. How about four-wheeling?
Four-wheeling, hunting. The four-wheeling thing, I got to get my four-wheeling game going on, because now that I have a family, I got to drag everybody with me, and I don't have a side-by-side yet.
We have six-seater four-wheelers at the shop. You got a big family, we can take
three. A four-seater would probably do it. Yeah. We got to talk about that. I was looking at those some of those Mavericks, and man, the Ski-Doo is putting out some turbocharged 1,000cc.
Yeah.
I mean,
200 horse. Yeah.
Oh
it's
crazy, nuts, man.
It really is. Even from a dealer, we shake our heads when we see what they're coming out with. They're kind of on their game right now, so it's it's kind of fun. Did you say you had you were Talkeetna for a while?
No.
Oh no. I
worked all over the state.
Yeah.
But.
I was thinking it was Talkeetna. I don't know.
I was in Palmer.
But you've snow machined all over the place.
I run that the Talkeetna River. I got friends up there, and actually the guy who taught me all about snow machining and four wheeling, like I got like the Alaska Blitz. His name's Curtis, and he pretty much taught me everything I know about snow machining and jet boating. And so we spent a lot of time. That Talkeetna River is real technical. Can eat, pretty much eat your lunch if you're not careful.
Yeah, and you know, that's something that we tell all our customers. We sell the InReach, and what a great device that is.
Oh man,
you know, we had it's kind of been about 8-9 years ago now. We were up the Good Pasture, and a boat got caught in a log jam. People we knew, they both worked at Pogo Mine. And the father wound up dying. Never did find his body. He got sucked under a log jam.
Yep.
We had just come down. We were, Tom Carter and I were just coming down the river. We'd been way up. It was early in the morning, and we sat on a slough to look for moose. Then came down. We saw this. The guy was in a panic. He was starting a fire to get warm because he'd been looking for his dad. But with the InReach, I mean, we had a Black Hawk helicopter there within 30 minutes.
Yep.
It was amazing.
You know, and can we segue into public safety announcement here for
absolutely.
This thing?
Absolutely.
I made a couple notes this morning before we came in, and like I wanted to talk about exactly that, the SAR stuff, search and rescues. We're in this pretty much search and rescue season right now, summertime. We got a bunch of tourists around that aren't normally, they don't understand that Alaska will eat your lunch and it is equipment intensive. And I just want to put this out there for folks. I mean, like, what is your life worth to you? People are like, oh, that's an InReach thing, costs a couple $100 and all this stuff. If you're going to go out and engage in activities where help is like hundreds of miles away, and you're going to be engaged, exposed to like cold water, like possible hypothermia, rough weather, steep inclines and declines, things like that, take something with you. I don't care if it's InReach. I don't care if it's a sat phone. I don't care if it's, you know what? Leave a trip plan.
Yeah.
At least tell people like, hey, we're going to go up, this X, whatever river, I'm going to park at this location. Tell somebody, hey, we're leaving at, 4 o'clock on Friday. If I'm not back by, 4 o'clock, if I haven't called you by 4 o'clock on Sunday, come look for us. Cause could you imagine being out and no one even knows that you have got a broken femur
and
you're
where you went
or where you even went.
Yeah.
So leave a trip plan, take survival gear with you.
Sure.
Be prepared. I mean, Alaska's...
Some of the new phones are coming out. Even my new 14 has got... I didn't even know it had it when I bought it, but it will actually... You can do the emergency satellite if you're under the 45th parallel.
Yeah.
And somebody up in Wainwright, which is the 49th parallel, they wound up being the first person, in North America to use it, and they got rescued. But yeah, the technology is such that take advantage of it. Yeah.
Yeah. What's your life worth?
I know. And you buy even if you buy a used one for $150, $200... get one. You can sign up for like what I do. I usually just sign up August 15th to September 15th because I'm gone hunting most of that time.
Yeah.
And so, we're way up there, but it's really important that you do that. There's a lot of technology. InReaches, the InReaches, the Apple AirTags, we've got them on everything now.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that next time you're on.
Yeah.
And some of these technologies that are coming out. I just watched a show on cable about some new stuff for anti-theft in supermarkets that they're coming out with. It's really amazing. But we're going to run out of time, unfortunately.
Are you serious? Can I say one last thing about the search and rescue stuff? Yep. The thing is, when you take technology into the field with you that you can report back, like, hey, I'm really messed up. I need to get rescued. When you take that technology out to the field with you, you take it from a search and rescue and you only make it. Now it's just a rescue.
Yeah.
Like, we know where you are.
We
just got to come get you.
Sure.
And we got helicopters for that kind of stuff. And it just... What's your life worth,
That's right. Well, thank you so much. It's been interesting, intriguing. I love having you on the show. We're going to try and do this at least once a month.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and we can feel a lot better about this community, the town we love called Fairbanks. All right, Fairbanks, has been Craig with the Outdoor Show with Captain Eric Spitzer. We'll see you next Saturday. Be nice to people out there and use those cell phones if you see something suspicious. And go to Alaska Tips.
AK Tips.
AK Tips.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to the Campos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio, streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on the Campos Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.